Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Coffee with Innovate Finance. My name is Daniel Stack, and I work on the membership team at Innovate Finance. Today, I have a very special guest, Kevin Chong, who is co-head and partner at Outward VC, an early-stage fintech venture capital firm in London. My conversation with Kevin touches on some great topics, including Outward's investment focus, his definition of fintech, some wider industry trends, and his optimism for where the ecosystem is heading. Kevin and the Outward team work with some fantastic fintech companies, and I learned a lot from my conversation with him. I hope you enjoy this episode. Kevin, it's so great to have you on.
Likewise, Daniel. Good to see you.
Well, the first question I'd love to kick off with is just start by telling us about Outward VC.
Yeah, look, so I mean, we are obviously a VC fund. Our mission is to back companies that are seeking to be the most important fintech companies in the world, which is a very bold statement. So I think what that signals is ambition on two levels. I think firstly, it signals our ambition as a fund and what we want to do. And secondly, I think it signals the sorts of problems that we're looking for our founders to solve, right? So I think the world of sort of private investing in private companies is now getting a lot of attention. And in the VC landscape in particular is getting crowded and more complicated. So which means that sort of finding good returns getting harder. So I think with Outward, we want to be very clear on our strategy. We have a very particular stage focus, which is to come in after seed, but usually before Series A. So I think what that means is that we are usually the first institutional capital for our startups. And the other part of our strategy is that we are obviously very much focused on fintech, although we have a very broad definition of fintech, because for us, fintech includes all the adjacent areas that we think will end up shaping fintech. So we are quite broad in fintech, but I think those two things means that, just like with the companies that we invest in, we need to find product market fit ourselves, right? So in our case, I think with our stage strategy and our sector focus, what we want to be is capital that really matters to our companies, right? Capital that counts.
You mentioned you sort of aim to be the first institutional money into a company. What does that look like for founders, and like what stage of growth are they at that point? Because like, are they typically, friends and family, some early, points of success? Like what's sort of the general nature of when you're the right person for that company?
We're not rigid in that sense. So we're not one of these VCs that go, well, we need to see a certain amount of revenue or a certain number of clients. We're looking for signs of traction. I mean, to put it into sort of practical terms, what it generally looks like is that by the time we invest, the business will have received, maybe up to £1 million of funding. So they might have done a friends and family round and then a small seed round. They've definitely got a working product. And, they might just be getting started. I mean, if it's a B2B business, they might have secured a they might be doing a few pilots and about to maybe convert those pilots into a big commercial deal. And then we come in, and then the round tends to be, on the low end, maybe 1.5 million. At the higher end, can be up to 5 million. We won't be the only investor in that round, but at that sort of point, when in the case of fintech, that's not quite a Series A. So Series A is probably 12 months away. So that's where we come in. And you know, we try and stay within those parameters as much as we can.
You mentioned the broad definition of what fintech is and how you look at opportunities. Just would love to hear in your words, just kind of, yeah, what captures that and then what falls beyond it?
Yeah, look, I mean, firstly, I mean, tying it back to what I said the Outward stands for in terms of wanting to invest in companies that are seeking to be the most important fintech companies in the world, I think it means that the market that's being addressed is a very large and global market. I think within that, we really have no restrictions on which bit of fintech that it may be. So, I mean, we cover B2B, B2C, insurance, capital markets, personal financial services, the whole gambit. But as I was saying earlier, our definition of fintech also includes areas that are not, you wouldn't conventionally say is fintech, but we feel that these are areas that will shape financial services quite significantly in the future.
I'm sure there's some great businesses you see, but then on the other side of it, you're also, you're representing people that have given you money to invest. And if you're willing to share, I would love just to hear kind of like what's that relationship look like? Because on the one side, you're looking at some great founders and opportunities, but on the other, like you have your own constraints of, responsibilities to the people whose money you've been entrusted. What's that like just kind of day to day or over the process of the fund?
Our sole deliverable for our LPs is to get them the best possible return. What will hopefully be the best in class return across the portfolio. That said, I mean, our LPs, which include a couple of banks, we've got Investec and LP, NIBC, which is Dutch Bank's and LP. We have a long list of other LPs as well. They put no constraints on us, right? Apart from the partnership agreement that everybody signed up to at the beginning, which is that, we invest in fintech, we invest across Europe. So apart from that, they don't get involved in the investment decisions. That said, a few of them are very keen to get involved in supporting the companies in the portfolio as these companies in the portfolio progress.
I'd love to switch just and ask kind of your perspective on the broader trends in the sector. You've got an amazing portfolio that really spans, I think, it echoes a lot of the thesis you outlined of what you consider fintech, whether it be Curve or Bud or Clear Glass, Moniz, X8, Vauban, many, many others that are very different companies from one another, even though they all are considered fintech or insurtech. And so when you're thinking about like the next opportunities and just companies that, and trends that you're seeing in the sector, like what really do you find most interesting right now, or, of problems that companies are focused on, or just different companies and technologies that are being enabled with what's kind of come to date and what's ahead of us?
Well, I mean, as we know, I think fintech has been getting a lot of interest, right, in recent times. And what that means is that there's a lot of money pouring in. I think because a lot of money is pouring in, there are a lot of startups working on the same ideas. So that's one thing that we're quite conscious about. So for example, take an area like personal financial management, which I think is getting very saturated. So that would be one area that I can say that it doesn't interest me very much at the moment. On the other hand, I think there are so many areas of fintech that are still untapped in the sense of sort of startups coming in and filling the gaps. So I think about areas like B2B payments, for example, life insurance, trade finance, reinsurance. These are all huge markets. They're all global markets. And they're actually you know, you build a startup in the UK on in any of those areas, and you could apply the platform and the technology to pretty much any market anywhere in the world. But we don't see many startups in those areas. So I think they're the ones, you know, it'd be those sorts of areas that I'm keen to look at this time.
Why do you think some of those areas maybe haven't been as well trodden as others? Is it just the infrastructure enabling companies to go down those routes, say like what banking service providers have done for digital challenger banks of giving them, you know, a license as a service or compliance as a service? Do you think that's part of it? Or do you think it's just, you know, they're not as easy as some of the other earlier opportunities that people went after. And now that, like you said, there's some, well, you know, take personal financial management, it may have been more obvious, and now people are looking at bigger problems, but are not as easy.
Yeah, I think it's because, I mean, these are all areas that you really need to put the technology side of it to, you know, obviously it's the tech that's going to give an advantage, but it also means that you have to have some domain expertise to get into these areas, right? I mean, because something like trade finance or reinsurance or life insurance, they're difficult areas to understand, and you really have to have a team that is, you know, you've got the tech idea to transform these areas, but then you got to, before you do that, you need to have a base understanding of the dynamics in that market, right? How are you going to bring in the right partners, right, to get a startup off the ground in any of these areas? And you can't really do that unless you've had a track record in that space, right? And you've got the relationships, you've got to make that, you know, whereas sort of building a challenger bank or doing a startup that's based on sort of
financial advice or, yeah,
building a bank account and just growing the numbers is quite a different thing.
I think rightly mentioned that there's a lot of focus on fintech. I saw in CB Insights, their latest venture cap reporting, I think mainly in the US, but they said 22% of venture capital money this year has gone to fintech, which is unbelievable given that it's a record year for venture capital. And then in the UK, like the data that we released at the end of the first 6 months of the year already showed there's been more venture capital money invested this year in the first 6 months than the entirety of last year, which I guess COVID and some of the uncertainties somewhat explains, but still is a remarkable thing given from about August onwards last year, we still had some record numbers. So I guess I'll just ask it in a direct way. Do you think we're in a bubble around valuations? Do you think that, you know, the opportunity, you know, the amount of money coming in and the great ideas in the companies that are scaling up just reflects, you know, the optimism of what the opportunity really is? What, you know, what's your sense about, you know, where we are? Are we on the, you know?
Is there a risk of a bubble? I'm going to say yes and no, because
very political answer.
I think definitely at the sort of later stage, we're at risk of seeing some sort of bubble, you know, but that's because, I mean, you know, that's driven by the fact that, you know, these are public market investors that are coming into private markets because the public market is shrinking, right? There are less public companies to invest in now than before. And the private companies are staying private for longer. Right, so a lot of that money is coming into private markets, and so I think because of that, you've got a lot of money chasing, you know, a lot of not that many late stage private companies. So I think there, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a bubble forming, But at the early stage, I don't think so. I think at the early stage, there are great opportunities. It's about finding those opportunities, and it can be hard work finding those opportunities. And the bigger funds, they can't make it work, right? Coming into early stage investing simply because of the fund economics. But so I think at the early stages, I don't get the sense that there is a bubble.
Just a closing question, I suppose, you know, optimistically or pessimistically, like, what's your outlook for fintech in 5 years' time? Where do you think things are going to be?
It's a really exciting time for fintech. I think in B2C, I think what we're really going to see embedded finance become a fact of life. I think, you know, consumers are going to be consuming financial services on new platforms, right? You won't be buying life insurance from your bank. You won't be buying car insurance from today's car insurers. You're not going to be buying shares from today's brokers. Right? You're going to be doing all of that on new platforms. And so I think what's really going to change over the next 5 years is the way financial products are distributed. And so there are going to be some very interesting platforms that are going to emerge over the next 5 years. So I think the world of sort of B2C fintech is going to be completely different to what things look like today. And I think on the B2B side, my sense is that things are going to become a lot more consumerized. Why should B2B payments be so much more complicated than the way consumers make payments? I think in the B2B world, we're going to see a lot of a lot of reinvention in the way the way payments are made. So those are probably the two trends I predict over the next 5 years.
That's ending on a very positive note, and I think is a good expectation of things to come given how things look. So Kevin, it's been a genuine pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for joining to share your perspective, insights, and a little bit more about RootVC. I wish you the very best.
Thanks, Dan. It's been a pleasure.